I'm going to teach the word for a little bit. Acts chapter 2. The message tonight is the ministry of the Holy Ghost, part 2. I taught on this several weeks ago. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there, and it appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just make a note there about that phrase, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They begin to speak with tongues. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. So here we have unsaved people hearing the ministry, the gift of tongues being poured out. They hear it in their own language. Hallelujah. In verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how do we hear every man in our own tongue, our own language, wherein we were born? And then it lists all the different countries that they were from. In verse 12, and they were all amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing as it is the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaidens I will pour out on those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. In verse 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost starts from the book of Joel, and he finishes at the end times. If you study the book of Revelation, in verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. It takes them all the way to the end times. That's what the moving of the Holy Ghost will do. And one thing that you'll notice about true end time teaching and preaching is that it always is going to result in people getting saved. If you want to have a good litmus test for is this teaching true or is it false, one good litmus test is the teacher's ministry or the preacher's ministry getting people saved? Does the message preached result in salvations right then and there? If somebody's preaching false end-time teaching, often they're more concerned about just putting out some doctrine and they're not getting people saved. So they take it all the way. Peter takes it all the way from the outpouring of the Holy Ghost to people getting saved in the end times. So the Lord knows what He's doing. And God has the end in sight. He declares the end from the beginning. God's never caught off guard by anything that takes place in your life. I mean, right here in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost just got poured out. And it's the first altar call that was ever given. And right off the bat, the Spirit of God is already talking about the return of the Lord and the end times. So He sees the whole picture. The Lord didn't put something into place in your life and only see a part of it. And then a bump in the road comes. And then you got to go back and seek God because God didn't know there was a bump in the road. And now we got to shut down everything. No, He sees the entire picture. He declares the end from the beginning. What God starts, He can and will finish, praise God. Hallelujah. Faith begins where the will of God is known, but I would like to say that trust begins where the will of God is unknown. And that has been a hard one for me. I tell you what, because I like to know what's going on. You know, I like to know the end from the beginning and every single step in between. But the Spirit of God will do you a lot of times like He did just here in Acts chapter 2. Well, He'll start in Acts chapter 2 and finish at the end of time all in about 15 verses. And He doesn't tell you what's going to happen in the middle. He doesn't tell you the mountains that you have to climb. He doesn't tell you about the giants that are going to be there between the time that you got your prophetic word and the time that, amen and so be it, thank God I have it and I'm going to testify about it. But there are things that come. But God knows that you can handle it. You have to trust God in His ability to trust you. Amen. God trusts you in every, really, in every arena, in every facet that you have to trust God. You need to thank God and be and rejoice because you can say, look, I know that God, I'm having to trust God radically in this position because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on because God radically trusts me. I want you to know that you're on the right path. God can trust you with what He's put in your hands, and you're not going to blow it. You're not going to make a mistake. God declares the end from the beginning. He already has your end declared and sorted out, praise God. So there's a little side note for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 2. Let's also read verses 38 through 47. And then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then they gladly received his word. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Praise God. And verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And the fear came upon every soul. I just want to read verse 42 again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayers. Doctrine is important. In revival, doctrine is very, very important. That's why revival is important to preach in revival. It's important to preach in the book of Acts, but it's also important to teach. Because we need to understand the why and the how. Because if we don't understand the why and the how, then the devil can gain entrance and take people out that otherwise would not have been taken out. You know, sometimes I hope sometime soon I can do a good teaching on the healing ministry and how to receive and retain your healing. Because there are often people that come in the healing line and I'm laying hands on them and I'm ministering by the gift of healing at that time. And I know what the problem is. And I know, and sometimes this happens, I know that the answer to their healing need is not necessarily having hands laid on them, but I can see and discern and tell in their heart that there are some issues of faith that need to be dealt with. Not that there's a devil, not that they're backslidden, but we just need teaching, praise God. Hallelujah. You see, you can receive healing in your body. If let me just give you this little side journey here. If you're believing God for healing in your body and you've come forward in some of the prayer lines and haven't been healed yet, or you've received a partial healing or you're battling, then go to Mark chapter 4 and study that thing all the way through about the sower sows the word and the types of soil, and make sure the ground of your heart is prepared and begin to speak the word over your body and over that situation relentlessly. Never allow one single thought of fear about, you know, that lump. Never allow one single thought of fear about the vision, about the hearing, about that pain in your body to go unchallenged. You have to get more tenacious than the thoughts. You have to get more tenacious than the emotional feelings. You know, I've had to deal with these things in my life, and that's why I'm walking at a place of divine health. Praise God. You know, I had to deal with a whole lot of sickness growing up. I constantly had severe asthma. So bad one night when I was a kid that I woke up and we had a breathing machine on the foot of my bed because it was plugged in and we had all the liquid there to load it up. And I had to have that and my inhaler right there because at any moment I could wake up gasping for breath feeling like I was about to die. If you want to know how bad a bad asthma attack is, next time you go to a coffee shop, get one of those little tea straws and breathe through it for about 15 minutes or longer. Sometimes it would be hours. And I remember waking up one time, like 2 in the morning or something, gasping for breath, thinking, my gosh, how am I going to make it through this? I can't even breathe. And I had the breathing machine stuck in one side of my mouth and the inhaler stuck in the other side of my mouth. And the next thing that I knew was probably about 10 minutes later, I kind of came to. I didn't remember anything. And as far as I know, I just passed out on the bed. So I've had to learn how to stand in faith for things. I went for prayer in a healing altar call that was done in 1993. I remember this. Brother Rodney Howard Brown was here for 4.5 weeks in 93, and then he had to leave for another schedule for about 2 months, and then he came back. Well, the week before he came back, a Wednesday night, Mark was preaching and gave a healing altar call, and I went up for asthma because I needed healing for asthma. And the power of God hit me violently and like threw me on the floor. And I'm like, praise God, I'm healed. I mean, how many of you would be thinking the same thing? The power of God threw me on the floor. Praise God, I'm healed. So I'm laying there on my back, and I have an asthma attack. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. How can this happen? I thought this was spiritually illegal. How can you get hit with the power of God like this and be laying on your back and have a stinking asthma attack? But what happened was something in my faith switched. And I remember loving the revival so much. And we had a family vacation planned before we realized that Brother Rodney was coming back. And we missed that week when he came back. I was so upset. We were driving in the car, and I'm just mad. I was not in the fruit of the Spirit. I was in the flesh, mad because I couldn't go to revival. But I remember being in the car. We had a great, great vacation. But I remember being in the car thinking about being thrown to the floor violently under the power of God and having an asthma attack. And I remember thinking, well, if God's that strong to do that, then he's also equally and much stronger to heal me of asthma. I mean, I didn't know the things about the Word and stand in faith that I know now. And I just made a decision, because I was wheezing at the time, and I just made a decision. I was like, I'm just going to swallow deep right now. And I didn't know how to do something, quote, by faith. But you just have to start doing it. It's like riding a bicycle. If you're so analytical that you still can't ride a bicycle at age 40 and you never have, then you got to learn how to take a bold step of faith and get on the bicycle and kick the training wheels off at some point. And that's the same way you learn to walk in faith. You can be so analytical that you never learn, and you sit back, I don't know how to release my faith. Well, it's because you never tried. Well, I don't know how to ride a bicycle. Well, it's because you never tried. And that was one of the first times that I learned how to release my faith for healing. And I sat there in the car on the vacation, and I breathed in deep, and I just, something in by faith settled. My faith just got settled just enough to where I was able to, by faith, beat that wheezing problem. It was minor. It was nowhere near as severe as other asthma attacks that I had, but it was just a little bit of wheezing, and it was gone. And that was my first victory ever by faith over asthma that was instantaneous. My mom and I had been up for nights and nights. I mean, I could just sad stories about some of the things that we had to deal with severe asthma that I grew up with, and we battled it out and slugged it out. That's part of what I saw when I was praying for my mom over there. And so we had some victories, but that was the first one, praise God, that was instant, that came. But I learned how to just release my faith. I did it. I didn't know what I was doing any more than the kid that's riding his bike, you know, when he goes for 5 feet and falls over and skins his knee. But I just knew something had to move, and I kept moving and pressing, praise God. So you need teaching. We need the teaching of the Word so that we don't lose the manifestation of the Spirit. We need the teaching of the Word so that we don't lose the manifestation and the power of the Spirit. You see, it's like the Spirit of God is the wine, and the wineskin can represent the Word and the Word teaching. When you're rooted and grounded in the Word, you won't lose the manifestation of the Spirit. When you're rooted and grounded in the Word and you get healed in the prayer line, and then a week later the pain comes back, then you'll be strong enough in the Word to speak the Word and beat that thing, and you won't lose the manifestation of the Spirit that you had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be strong enough in the Spirit to beat that thing. So the ministry of the Holy Ghost, I want to talk to you about tongues a little bit more. The initial gift of the Spirit is tongues. And Paul talks a lot about tongues and the operation of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And here's the reason why. You notice that he didn't spend an entire chapter talking about the other 11 gifts of the Spirit. You may not have noticed that, but you just did because I just said it. Just playing with you. But Paul didn't spend an entire chapter talking about the other 11 gifts of the Spirit. And here's why. Because tongues is the initial gift of the Spirit that is given to every single believer that is baptized with the Holy Ghost. Every single believer that is baptized with the Holy Ghost is given the gift of tongues. There's no exception to that. God is no respecter of persons. If you pray and ask for something, he's going to give you what you ask for. He's not going to give you a scorpion or a serpent. But he is faithful, and he is not a respecter of persons. So the gift of tongues is given to every single person. I remember I was traveling in Killeen, Texas several years ago doing a crusade. And we had several churches rallied together, and an associate pastor came to me. There was an associate pastor at a Spirit-filled church and asked me about, you know, do you believe that everybody needs to speak in tongues? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, God's given it to everybody. But he actually had started teaching other Spirit-filled believers and young believers that God doesn't give, that you don't have to speak in tongues, and that it's really not necessarily a part of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And come to find out why. Well, he was teaching that because that's what he had experienced. You know, he had tried to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, but he never spoke in tongues. So rather than repent, or rather than persevere in faith and begin to like be like the little kid that's learning to ride the bicycle and just persevere, if you skin your knee, then keep trying until you get it, he quit and begins to teach bad doctrine to other people. You know, you've got to be very, very careful about people's experience. You have to be very, very careful about what you read on Facebook and other situations about, well, so-and-so did all of this and they died of cancer. Well, so-and-so dying of cancer, I'm sorry that they did, you know, but Jesus died on the cross, okay? So that's where we focus our attention on. So-and-so dying of cancer, and they were a precious saint of God, and they loved God, and they tithed and did all this stuff, and they still died. Doesn't mean that you're going to die or that cancer is going to beat you, because it's not about so-and-so. You don't know what was going on in so-and-so's heart. Well, they had Benny Hinn, and every evangelist in the world lay hands on them, and it only got worse, and they died faster. Well, it's not about so-and-so. What did Jesus do for you on the cross? John chapter 1, it talks about that Jesus was the Word. The Word was made flesh and it dwelt among men. So Jesus hanging on the cross is and was the Word. Hallelujah. So when you begin to speak the Word, you're not just speaking a communication of a thought, but you are speaking the very reality of Jesus Christ's atonement and Himself into your life. Hallelujah. So we can't be detoured by what other people's experience was. What does the Word say? And so we need Word teaching so that we are rooted and grounded in the Word so we don't lose the manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because people can get so caught up in the manifestation of the Spirit that they start good, but they end up crazy. I was listening to some praise and worship the other day, like an hour and a half long thing. Awesome, awesome praise and worship. But I'll just tell you right now, they begin to get so much hung up on the prophetic. If the Spirit of God is there with tongues and interpretation to prophesy, then do it. But the thing that you fall back on every single time without fail is the teaching and the preaching of the Word. Any supposed revival, supposed move of God that does not fall back on every single time on the teaching and the preaching of the Word is going off track or is already off track. Hallelujah. And this thing I was listening to, the worship was just tremendous. It was awesome. About 45 minutes into it, somebody had a great encouragement, but then they kept going and kept going. And what happens when you keep going beyond what the Holy Ghost is leading because you're so hung up on the gifts and so hung up on prophecy, you begin to get weird. And when you begin to get weird, strange fire starts to take place. And guess who's right there to accommodate you? The devil. And other believers that are weird. You got to go to the Word. Hallelujah. We cannot lose the teaching and the grounding of the Word, because if we do, we'll lose the manifestation and the power of the Spirit. So tongues, being the initial gift of the Holy Ghost. Tongues is the one gift of the Holy Ghost that is given to every believer. It's important that we understand that, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, and I believe it's in verse 11, it says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with all. That's actually more around verses 6. But further down in chapter 12, let's just turn there, actually. I'm going to use my little pulpit over here again. Chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Yep, verse 11, I think I got it right. But all these worketh, King James. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Holy Ghost divides these gifts to each person as he wills. But the gift of tongues is able to operate in your life as you will. That's why it's important that you be faithful with the gift of tongues in your life and pray in the Spirit. Like Paul said, I thank God that I pray in the Spirit more than you all. And begin to pray in the Spirit and interpret. It's important that we be faithful with the gift of tongues in our life. And what I pointed out earlier in Acts chapter 2, it said, as the Spirit gave them utterance. We have to make sure that we don't get caught in the rut of just going, kataba, 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 kataba. You pray in tongues for an hour, but kataba, 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 that's all that you say. Well, you know, it's great when a three-year-old starts to learn to talk, but if they're 15 years old and they're still just saying the same old three words, mama, daddy, and food, then it will no is usually the first one, no, and then mama and daddy and food. Then and when they're 15 years old, if that's all they're still saying, you think, well, we need some help here. But it's the same with your spiritual language. It's as the Spirit gives utterance. So listen to this right now. The more that you pray in tongues, the stronger you, the more you get into the Spirit. Kenneth Hagin said, and he recommended, he said, you can pray. He said, you want to get in the Spirit? Pray an hour. He said, anytime, and he didn't say this is a regulated, mandated thing, but he said, just pray an hour and you'll get in the Spirit. You know, sometimes you can pray in tongues. He's talking about praying in tongues. Sometimes you can pray in tongues for 15 or 20 minutes, and you're still, it feels just like you just got through watching the Cowboys or the Mavs lose another game. You know, it's like, oh, man. But you just keep praying, and you just keep praying, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, if you can persevere, and there's something I agree about that hour mark, praying in tongues, that all of a sudden something begins to kick over, and you get into a place in the Spirit where you could just pray for hours, you know, and just and it's hard for you to leave the place of prayer at that point. We've had that happen several times in the Monday night prayer meetings here, where we just begin to, you know, 6 o'clock we start, and by 7 things are just starting to roll, and we're just really struggling to close out the prayer meeting and go a few minutes over, and you can just feel that's because it takes time to get in the Spirit. But that's why we have to be disciplined, and disciplined maybe not be the best word, passionate and disciplined about the gift of tongues, and pray in tongues constantly, because praying in tongues is the number one way to get in the Spirit. And what happens when you get in the Spirit by praying in tongues, then your tongues begin to become more uttered by the Spirit of God. And then you begin to utter things that are more accurate. And then let me just teach you about that for a minute here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because it's important to get in the Spirit. It's important that your tongues become utterance by the Spirit and not just words that you've kind of memorized and you don't get in a rut. And I'm saying, you know, I'm not criticizing that, but I'm saying we need to grow up from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read starting in verse 11. It says, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." Now listen to this and read this in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Therefore we know." Really, the word "might," I found this out years ago, the word "might" in most places in the New Testament really wasn't there in the original Greek. So there's no maybe. Might in our modern day use means maybe. There's no maybe about this. "We have received the Spirit which is of God, therefore we know the things that are freely given to us by God." So if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, then therefore you know everything that has been freely given to you by God. So if you have any situation that you're standing in front of, which this happens all the time in the life of a Spirit-filled believer, any situation that you're standing in front of and you think, "I don't know what to do. How am I, Lord, I don't want to just go play Russian roulette and start pulling triggers and see what happens and then decide what was right after I've, you know, cut down something or cut off the wrong limb or caused any trouble. I don't know what to do." Stop everything as soon as you can. I mean, if you're at work, you know, you can't just, you know, park the truck on the side of the road and tell the boss to come find it while you go pray in tongues. But as soon as you can, go pray in tongues and stay there until you begin to get understanding, because the Spirit of God absolutely has given you knowledge and understanding on everything that He has freely given you. But you have to have understanding about it. That's why it's important. One of the main reasons it's important to pray in tongues a lot and to make sure as a, by a faith act that your heart engages with the Holy Ghost when you're praying in tongues. And don't just, like I say again, don't just get in the rut of praying the same syllables over and over and your mind is wandering and thinking about the things that you have to do that day. And that's okay when you're focused on other things to begin to pray in tongues. But we need to have focus time all of the time. You know, once a day, at least, I would think. Focus time where you deliberately focus on the Spirit of God and connect your tongue to the Holy Ghost and begin to pray until you reach that overdrive gear and you're just soaring in the realm of the Spirit. And then you begin to get understanding the things that you didn't know an hour before, all of a sudden you have full knowledge about. And you know what to do and you have peace. Hallelujah. There's never a situation that you're ever going to face that God hasn't answered every single bit of it and given you the ability to get the answer. And your mind can get so preoccupied with things that you just think, there's no way I can figure this out. Your heart can be so under pressure for different reasons that you can't even think straight. And everything is skewed that you see and that you think at that moment. But if you'll just begin to pray in the Spirit and your mind will begin to fade away. The frustration and the pressure and the tearing in your heart will begin to fade away and you'll get caught up in the realm of the Spirit. And if you can just persevere long enough, all of a sudden you're going to begin to have understanding and begin to know every single answer that you need to know, because God absolutely has given you knowledge on everything that He has freely given you. The devil just wants to try to get between you and God's promise and throw a bunch of confusion and fear so that you give up and quit, or you steer the wrong direction, you pull the trigger on the wrong situation, and it blows up in your face, and then you quit because you didn't know what to do. But you do have the ability to find out and know everything about what you need to do. So now we have received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Therefore we know the things which are freely given to us by God. And look at this, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. And then if you read this in the Amplified, this is a lot better than the King James. It says, combining spiritual things with spiritual language. That is powerful right there. Combining spiritual things with spiritual language. So this is something that I speak in English over my prayer time before I start praying. I sit there and I say it all the time now. I say, Lord, I thank you that I have received the Spirit which is from God. Therefore, I know everything that is freely given to me by God, which things I also speak in language, in words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Combining spiritual things with spiritual language. Hallelujah. So when you are speaking in tongues, the word says in Hebrews that He is the high priest over your profession in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. And then also it says in Hebrews, let me get this verse here, chapter 9, verse 11, that He is the high priest over good things to come. So you want good things to come in your life? You tired of the bad stuff? Well, He's the high priest over good things to come. In other words, the high priest means it is his job, when you do your faith duty properly, it is his job to make sure good things come to pass in your life. And I want you to know He is a faithful high priest. He has never failed on a job yet. He hasn't shown up late. He didn't forget. He didn't sleep in. He didn't go to the wrong building. He didn't get the address wrong. He has never slept in. He's never missed it. He never slumbers or sleeps, praise God, so he can't sleep in technically. So He's faithful to take care of your situation. He is a faithful high priest over your profession. Profession, confession is the same thing. He's the faithful high priest over the things that you say. Hebrews 3:1, you could say it that way and not do any injustice to the word. He is the faithful high priest over the things that you say. So what are you saying that you are allowing Jesus to make come to pass in your life? He is the faithful high priest over good things to come. There are no bad things to come when your faithful high priest is at work, but you have to put Him to work, and He wants to work for you. So keeping that in mind, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 here in verse 13, which things we also speak. You see, it didn't say which words we also speak. It said which things we also speak. So the things you got to get revelation of, good things to come that God has for you, and begin to speak it out in tongues. You get in the Spirit and you begin to speak these things out in tongues. And then what you're speaking that out and you begin to prophesy them back to yourself, which if we have time, I'll get into that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But you begin to get understanding after you pray this out in tongues. You're not just speaking out words, but things are literally coming out of your mouth. I mean, for lack of a better illustration, if you're believing God for this Bobby Crow Bible right here, Bobby Crow gave this Bible to me. If you're believing God for this Bible and you say, I need a Cambridge-bound small Bible that I can preach in that's not too big for me to run around the pulpit and lug around and drop. If you're believing God and say, Lord, I thank you for this Bible. I mean, things, you're speaking things to come, which things we also speak. It's almost like you're just saying, Lord, I thank you for this Bible. And here it comes right out of your mouth. You see what I'm saying? The thing is just coming right. Lord, I thank you for this Bible right here. And there it comes right out of your mouth. I mean, you just spoke it right out of your mouth. It's a goofy illustration, but you'll remember it. It's coming. The thing's coming literally right out of your mouth. Your healing coming right out of your mouth. And so that's why it's so important that you learn to speak in tongues and your prayer language grow and increase, because if all you have are three syllables and you're just kind of come, and that's all that you ever do and pray in tongues. And let me say this while I'm talking about that, is that you've got to also be careful that you don't tie your prayer language and your prayer time to your soul. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, it says that that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and divides asunder the soul and the spirit. You've got to make sure you don't tie your prayer time to your soul. For example, if you're upset and mad or hurt about something, and so you just go into the prayer time, and at first the only thing you do is just upset, anger, frustration comes out, and you're just like, oh. But if you stay in that mode, then you're never going to shift over into the realm of the Spirit. I will tell you right now, you can sit there and you can lay there and you can be praying in tongues, just kind of moaning and groaning, and you're not going to make a whole lot of progress. You'll make a little bit, because tongues are always going to be fruitful. But if you keep your tongues just and your prayer just latched on to the pain and the grief in your soul, then you're never going to get real. You're really never going to get beyond that. Unless God works a mercy miracle, which he does because he loves us. But as Pastor has been saying, faith takes a hold of what grace has provided. So by faith, latch your prayer and your tongues to your spirit and to the Holy Spirit. And just, you know, it's hard to do because you're frustrated. You're mad. The finances went bad. You don't know what you're going to do. You're going to lose the house. You know, you can't pay the water bill. Well, if you can't pay the water bill, just park your car over the water meter so the water man, the meter man, can't come turn your water off. Everything's going to be okay. Tie a rabid dog to the electric meter and everything's going to be okay. They won't cut your electrical off. No, that's not a word from God. Well, David, how do you know that? What made you think of that? Just don't ask. I didn't do it. So I didn't do it. Dan did it. No, I'm just kidding. But you got to tie your tongue to your spirit. You can start in prayer and begin praying in tongues out of the pain and the anguish of your soul. And you can stay there for an hour. And you may have done this before. And an hour later, you get up and you're almost as bad, and sometimes a little bit better, sometimes worse than you were before you started. And you've been praying in tongues the whole time. And your heart and your mind is not getting in the spirit. That whole time, all you're thinking about is $1,528 past due electric bill. That's all you're thinking about. The electric's about to get cut off and it's Christmas Eve, you know, or whatever. And that's all that you're thinking about, and your heart is fixed on that the entire time, and you just prayed an hour, and you get up and you leave, and you're no better than you were when you started. So don't do that. Tie your tongue to your spirit, to the Spirit of God, and begin to pray out the good things to come that God has. You know what? You may have a $1,500 past due electric bill, and they're about to cut your electricity off, because you haven't been praying like this, and you've been making decisions and moving by what looked good in the natural and by pressure, you know, and instead of getting the right job, you got the wrong job, and, you know, and you're working a job, but it's not the right job, and so things aren't working out. You may have dug yourself into a hole because you weren't doing this, but you can dig yourself out by doing this. You know, God's not going to hold you accountable and say, that $1,500 problem is yours, buddy. I didn't pay for that on the cross because you didn't pray the way that I wanted you to pray. No, He paid for everything. There's nothing he overlooked. He saw it all. So God has an answer, and it may not be a canine showing up at your door with $1,500 bills of $1,500 in cash, you know, just in his mouth saying, here's your electric bill. I don't know what his plan may be. You know, you may call the electric company back, and they'll give you an extension, whereas the mean person on the phone before just told you to take a hike, and all of a sudden now you have 10 more days. There'd be a step and a step, but you'll pray in the Spirit, and God will tell you what to do, and you're going to have peace about it, and you're praying out the things. So more importantly than that, it's important to be strong on a personal level, which is what I've been talking about. But more importantly than that, we need to be strong on a corporate level. So let's talk about that. And on a city, on a giving level, it's important to be strong in this in a level that benefits you, but it's also important to be strong in this in a way that benefits other people. So tongues is the initial gift of the Spirit. Be faithful with that, and you will get more. Well, you want to see the gift of healing manifest in your life stronger? You want to see tongues and interpretation manifest in your life stronger? You want to see the full, all of the gifts of the Spirit manifest so that anytime the Holy Ghost wants to do something, that you're there, ready, and able, and willing to do it? Then pray in tongues more. Well, there's so much that I could say about this, and before I go on, I'm going to say this. About praying in tongues will increase the anointing on your life. Well, David, how do you increase the anointing? Well, I've tell you what, I've been doing these things, and I've seen a noticeable increase in the anointing. And you pray in tongues. You want to know how to get anointed? The anointing, one definition of the anointing is it's the rubbing off of something onto something else. And that's just so plain and simple that you'd need outside help to misunderstand it. But you want to get a greater anointing on your life? Then begin to pray in tongues by the Spirit of God, by the utterance of the Spirit for hours on end. Just do it for hours on end and watch what happens next time you get up in the pulpit. Watch what happens next time you go out street witnessing. Watch what happens on the job site. Watch what happens in your family the next day when it seems like the kids just can't do things right and there's so much craziness going on and you're just going crazy at the house. Watch what happens when you begin to pray like that and the anointing gets stronger on you. You can develop and build and grow the anointing on your life on purpose by spending quality and quantity time praying in tongues by the utterance of the Holy Ghost. And when the anointing grows on your life, then the Spirit of God is going to come on you to minister to other people. I want you to see this. I said this several weeks ago when I preached the first part of this message, but when you get anointed, in Luke chapter 4, I believe it's in verse 8, you don't have to turn there because I want to say a whole bunch of things. Verse 18, Luke 4, 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. So what that is saying there is the Holy Ghost came on Jesus because the anointing was on Jesus. So the Holy Ghost comes where the anointing is. Okay? So, but catch this. Jesus said, to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach glad tidings, to open the blinded eyes. So the Spirit of God came on Jesus to minister to others. Okay? So the Spirit of God came on Jesus to minister to others because the anointing was on Jesus. The Spirit of God comes where the anointing is. So the question is how do you get the anointing or how do you get anointed? Well, you still go to the Spirit of God and you pray in tongues. It's got to be a personal thing first. It's got to be a personal thing with you and the Holy Ghost and prayer language time to get anointed before it becomes a public thing. But I'm telling you, when you're faithful with it in your personal life, then all of a sudden you're gonna be the one that pastors up here on a Sunday morning and the power of God's fallen and he's gonna say, Charles, come up here, the anointing's on you to go pull these people out of a wheelchair over here. You'll run over there and just yank them up out of the wheelchair when as 4 weeks ago you could not have done that, but you were faithful praying in tongues and meditating on the word, and the anointing was growing on you. You are deliberately taking the Holy Spirit and your prayer language and praying, and that anointing is just building and growing and building and growing. And then when it comes time for Luke 4:18, for the Spirit of God to come on you in a greater manner to touch somebody else, then you're the person that is that hot magnet that God's looking for, and he just gets drawn and pulled to you, and God's able to do something in somebody else's life and touch somebody that he could not have done or touched otherwise. There are things the majority of things in the kingdom of God cannot happen without people getting anointed. And we have over-spiritualized what the anointing is. We have over-spiritualized what it means to be anointed. To where we think, well, that's just Rodney Howard Brown or Benny Hinn when they come and people get thrown against the wall. Well, that, you know, and if that doesn't happen, then I'm not anointed. Well, no, that's the power of God touching somebody. But somebody truly getting anointed is something that takes place just like when somebody truly decides to really get in shape. You know, if you're so out of shape, you get winded coming up these three steps and you think, I'm going to start getting in shape. And you really start working out hours every single day and you get a coach and you're working out and you're training hours every single day. And then you're going to get in shape. You're going to be able to run the marathon and do very well. Well, that's the same way that you get anointed in the things of the Spirit. It's not some hokey thing. If somebody got winded coming up these three steps, they're not going to get in shape by coming up and having Pastor lay hands on them or Benny Hinn pray for them or getting the prayer cloth anointed with Holy Jerusalem oil and all of this stuff. You can't get in shape by doing that. You have to go and you have to do what it takes to get in shape. Just the same, you can have the Holy Ghost touch you and anointings can be poured out, but for you to retain that, you have got to begin to develop your spirit man by praying in the Spirit. And then God can use you to touch other people. So the anointing is something that we need to do by faith. Well, we want to see the power of God come stronger and stronger. Let me tell you, church, on a Wednesday night when we're all, most of us are probably all our home church folks here tonight and saved and born again and filled with the Spirit, what we can do is come Sunday morning and Sunday night and other services prayed up and full of the Spirit, so prayed up and full of the Spirit that if Pastor was to call on you for a testimony, you'll be raring to go and excited about it and ready to be anointed. And I'm telling you, when you get, if we could have 300 or 400 people in here, we have more than that on a Sunday morning. If we could have 300 people in here that were to come into the Sunday morning service, having prayed in the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the utterance of the Holy Ghost for an hour on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday morning, and an hour on Saturday throughout the day, and we have 300 people come in here that are carrying a literal, tangible anointing like Jesus did in Mark chapter 5 when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, and it said that he felt virtue go out, which was dunamis power. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the anointing. It's a tangible thing that begins to reside on you, spirit, soul, and body. It just resides on you, Kevin. We begin to play those keys. That tangible anointing resides on you. I'll get back to the Sunday morning thing in a minute, but speaking of the tangible anointing in music, I remember we did a crusade in Tyler, and we had a lot of bands. Within 5 nights, we had about 10 different bands come in and play. We had the youth band from Calvary, mightily anointed, awesome youth band. But we had a youth band from somewhere out there in East Texas that came, and they did all of the right songs. I've never seen something like this in my life. I'm out on the other side of the tent wall praying, because I just wanted to wait that night for whatever reason rather than going out in it during the praise and worship. So I'm not in this praise and worship. I can't see them. So I'm on the back side of the tent wall so I can hear them. We had a tent up. And they're playing away, and I'm thinking, well, they just started, so I can understand the anointing and the presence of God not hitting yet. You know, but usually by the fifth song, 20 minutes in, something ought to be happening. And then I hear them start to do the other, you know, hit praise and worship song that everybody does, and it's always anointed. And I'm thinking, all right, this is really going to do it, and I'm going to go out. It's going to already be anointed when I get out into the service. And they went into that song. I'm telling you, it was the deadest, driest. I was back there, and then they did another one of the big praise and worship songs that anybody could sing that can't sing and be anointed. And it was dead and dry. And I'm on the other side of the tent wall thinking, my goodness, I didn't know this was possible. I thought surely those two or three songs you could not sing without being anointed, but they were terrible. Their skill level was great. I mean, they were tight, the band, the drums, and all this stuff, but it was useless, totally useless. It might as well have been a secular band out there. No anointing whatsoever. You see, you can take what I've been talking about and almost judge where those kids' hearts were. No anointing whatsoever is totally useless for the service. So it's not a trick. It's not a magic trick. You either have it or you don't. Hallelujah. It's important to be faithful with tongues because it's the only gift that we given that we can operate as we will. Be faithful with tongues and the Spirit of God will entrust you with more power gifts. I've seen that happen in my life. As I've been more faithful in prayer and praying in tongues, I've seen the gifts of the Spirit, the other gifts of the Spirit, increase. You want to see the gifts of the Spirit increase in your life, be faithful with the one. You want to see, let me say it this way. You want to see the gifts that as the Spirit wills increase in your life, be faithful with the one that is as you will. Okay, did you catch that? Tongues is the one that is as you will. So if you want to see the increase in the gifts as the Spirit wills, be faithful with the tongues that are as you will. So when he's ready to move, he has a vessel that is ready. Tongues are to be used in the public place. And we'll probably get into that on part three, whenever the Holy Ghost has me get into it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'll just sum it up by saying this, that tongues are to be used in the public place. Tongues are to be used with saved people present and unsaved people present, but there's a proper way to use them. There's a proper way to use them. So you can just read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and you'll see that it is proper to use them, but it is a proper way. And there's a way to misuse tongues publicly. You know, you don't just do an evangelistic event and get up there and instead of preaching, well, the anointing came on me to pray in tongues, and you get up there and pray in tongues the whole time. Well, nobody answered the altar call. Well, you didn't speak a word in English, genius. I mean, nobody's going to answer that altar call. So there's a proper way. And so, you know, sometimes I've spoken in tongues in a service and had somebody Facebook or whatever, you know, well, you're not supposed to do that. Well, read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's okay. And so hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we do anything else, I just want your attention for the most important part. If there's anybody here tonight that you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're in this place and you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would make heaven your home if you were to die right this very second? There's a second category of person that I want to pray with tonight, that you know that you're going to heaven, but you also know that your heart is not right with God. You know you're going to heaven, but you know there is something between you and Jesus that is not right, and your heart's tugging on you. God is tugging on your heart right now to make things right. If you're one of those two categories, we want to pray with you tonight. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's speaking to your heart right now. It's time to make a move, and it's time to get things right with the Lord. If that's you right now, I want you to raise your hand and wave it at me. If you know that you're not going to heaven, or you know that you're going to heaven, but your heart is not right with God, it's time to give your life to Jesus. It's time to come and make things right with Jesus right now. He loves you. He's paid the price for you. There's no reason to hold back. He is good, and he loves you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in this place and that's you right now, just raise your hand. Be bold about it. Jesus was bold when he hung on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody in this place, I'll ask one more time. If you're in this place and your heart's pounding right now and you're thinking that might be me, well, then I'm telling you that it is you. Just raise your hand and wave it at me right now. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just begin to pray in tongues right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kola ramara mankashan kalamaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranaranarana Thank you, Jesus. Just pray in tongues and just cement this message into your heart. In And the things that the Lord's spoken to you tonight, just cement that into your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who in here tonight needs a healing in your body? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, just come down here to the front. I'm going to lay hands on you. Thank you, Lord. We're about to dismiss. You can lead us in a song, Kevin. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are great.
Thank you, Jesus.
Miracles so great. There is no one else like
hallelujah,
you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Debbie, what do you need?
There is no one else like you.
Amen.
You are great.
Amen. We just thank you, Lord, for that.
Miracles.
Strong bones in Jesus' name.
There is no one else.
Strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Healed, healed, healed.
There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Amen. Just raise your hands.
Name
by the Holy Ghost, healing you, bore your griefs and carried your sorrows, healing in Jesus' name on the inside, healing, wholeness, wholeness, wholeness in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.
You deserve the glory.
Yeah.
Lord, we lift our hands.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
As we lift,
thank you, Lord. Healing right now.
You deserve
Jesus' name. Healing right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You show Stan what to do. Hallelujah.
For just,
Lord, just release, casting that burden over on the Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Kathy.
You are.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord. It's already done.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no
be healed.
There is no
in Jesus' name right now. There's a pain in your back. Thank you, Lord. And that every single situation in Jesus' name, healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, what do you need? Lord, we just thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Healing, speak the word, speak the word. Rooted and grounded in healing. Thank you, Jesus. Healed in Jesus' name. Yes, ma'am, what do you need? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How's your breathing right now? Is it much better? Yeah? Okay, come over here with me. Just run over to this back. Thank you, Jesus. Just give a little jog. Just shove it in the devil's face tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heal. Just do that one more time. Just going to do the double. Hallelujah. Genesis 2:7. The there Lord breathes in you the breath of life. Thank you, Lord. Like you. Foul disease destroyed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, how was that? Hallelujah. She said, good, I can breathe now. Is there any asthma, any wheezing at all? None at all? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. And it'll stay that way. You stand strong. Fight the fight of faith. It does not return. It does not return successfully. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Healed. Gloria was just totally healed of asthma. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. What do you need? Did you have a headache right now? What? Okay. Healed in Jesus' name. I command that headache to go. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How was that? Huh? It's gone now? Hallelujah. Just raise your hands right now. Just raise your hands. Hallelujah. The Lord leads you beside still waters, and He restores your soul. Just be still and know that He is God. Cast your care over on the Lord. You just relax. Chill out. He'll handle the things. He'll help you handle the things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, ma'am.
There is no one else like you.
All right, just put your hand there. Both hands, actually. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Whatever that is. That pain is, whatever that problem is, we rebuke it. Command that to go right now in Jesus' name. Healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that if it tries to come back, it goes at your word. And it never develops anything. It's just gone forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Dan, I think I'm finished. Hallelujah. I'll give Dan a hand clap tonight.
Thank you, Dave. Hallelujah. Give David King a hand clap. Praise God. Give Jesus a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You deserve all the praise, glory, and honor. You know, I didn't say anything to David before the service except just hello and a few things. Hi. And I think God's trying to talk to us about the power of our words. Amen.
Amen.
And what we say and how we pray. So just take that as a word from the Lord tonight. If you'd like to bless Evangelist David King and his ministry, we're going to receive an offering. All of this offering will go to him and his ministry to help him continue to preach the gospel through television, through crusades, and through however the Lord leads him to do that. So we just want to bless him. Thank you for hearing from the Lord, Dave. That was some good doctrine.